going to talk before and after, and
well, he'll tell you what he's going to talk about.
I tell you what, keep this session from getting boring. Let's talk about sex.
You don't
have sex in your theater? Now, we was talking about communications this morning. It takes communications in everything. A special event, publicizing it, especially takes communication. Now, the word intercourse, and we put that with sex all the time, means, literally defined, to communicate. So, let's go into intercourse or communication with this part of it. Now, first of all, I would like to tell you that special events are not only within your own organization. You can get into all kinds of special events in the state program, in your Chamber of Commerce program, or whatever. First, I would like to relate one thing we really got into the state of Missouri at a special event. We was going, several of us was going to the NTA, ABA, Bus Association conventions and trying to draw business separately, independently. When about 6 years ago, we got a new director of tourism for the state of Missouri. Her name is Marjorie Benders. Very hype person and has great ideas and likes to get them enforced and likes to really get involved with the private sector. She came up with an idea to do Wake Up to Missouri Breakfast in Bed at the National Tour Association Convention and the American Bus Association Convention that year. National Tour Association Convention was held in Houston, Texas. 2,500 at the convention in 8 different motels, and we started calling the hoteliers and finding out what the probabilities were and everything. We found out that they said it was impossible, that we could not serve hot breakfast in bed to 2,500 people out of 8 different motels at the same time and get it done. But we definitely did, and it's been one of the great events that takes place at these two conventions. Now, in fact, when I first shook hands with Ray Redwood a while ago, yesterday, he said, the first thing he said was, are you going to serve me breakfast in bed at the NTA this year? And a couple of the girls here from Kentucky never did get one of the prizes that Missouri gave away, the teddy bear, and every time I see them, they ask me where their teddy bear is, of course. So anything that you do with the state, you get connected with. In other words, you become recognized. Through this program, the bus business in Missouri has increased about 1,000% since they first started doing it. At this point in time, we cannot get away from doing this special event at the NTA. It's a function that they expect us to do every year. So every year we do a breakfast in bed. But this first one, we set it up where everything on the tray was a giveaway. Give the people in the private sector on Missouri the opportunity to come up with these items. And the first thing I did was say, hey, we'll give the mug. And some of the guys from Branson said, well, I don't know how you're going to pay for it, but I had already volunteered it. And we had 5,000 mugs, hand-thrown, with Ozark Mountain Country on them. It cost us $13,500, but it only cost each business $300. Because we prorated it to everyone in the Branson area that was interested in the bus business, we assessed them $300, and we collected the $13,500 real quick. But now it doesn't cost the private sector anything. The state pays for it entirely. So that's one way that you can put on special events and publicize yourself through your state or through your Chamber of Commerce. Now, at the National Tour Association this year, the Branson Bunch, everyone from Branson, Missouri, is going to be manning the silent auction. This is another special event. Silent auction is where it goes to the foundation for the National Tour Association, and you make bids, you write them down, and then you come back and check if someone's up to your bid on that particular item. Well, you write another bid if you want to. That's the way the silent auction works, but it's there all week. And someone from Branson, Missouri will be representing our area, manning that auction and helping these people with the silent auction. Of course, all the items are donated and they require a $60 minimum on any item of $60 worth. And though I'm going to be well represented there because I talked to one of our artists that works on our place. He is an engraver and engraves in brass and freehand. He does beautiful work. Great artist. He had a picture of Old Man's Cabin about this big in a big frame. Had $300 price on it, and I talked him down to $125, and so that was our donation. But here's going to be the Shepherd of the Hills, right up there where everybody can see it all week long, and I'm going to be up there telling about it. So that's another way that you can go with your state and your Chamber of Commerce. We have had to set up something to interest people in our daytime tour at the Shepherd of the Hills. It's historic, but we're in a time now when people aren't interested in history, they want to be entertained. So we decided that we'd come up with a craft festival of such. We called the first one the Spring Celebration this spring. So we had to publicize that. The best way to do it was within the area. We couldn't advertise it outside the area because we didn't have time. We had to reach the people that were there. So what we did, we come up with this little silk flower here. Cost about $2 total. Had a card that went in it that said, Spring Celebration, Shepherd of the Hills. We give one of these to every one of the businesses in the Branson area. 350 of them is what we give out. They worked very, very well. At the close of the season, there was a lot of these. These were cut out in May. And at the close of the season, there was a lot of them sitting right by the cash register, like you saw this, with the card still in it. We come up with a fall celebration, or a fall harvest, we call it, which is crafts on the parking lot in the booth, same as it was before, to publicize our daytime business and increase it. For the fall harvest, we come out with this little jewel, right here, at a cost of about $1.80 a piece. Done the same thing with it. Now, these are all hand-delivered. In fact, I delivered most of them myself. I'd go into the business and say, hey, I have a present for you. Look at this. We had tent cards that said the same thing. And restaurants take the tent cards and put them on all the tables. Now this is advertising our fall harvest. Everybody can see it right there. Fall harvest at the Shepherd of the Hills. And everybody wanted to know what it was. Of course, I explained exactly what it was to all of the businesses. And when someone asked them, they knew. Boy, they've got some great crafts out there on the parking lot, and it's all free. You go out and look them over. And then, of course, they take the daytime tour while they're out there, or go to the gift shop and spend money. This was a well-paid-for item in itself. It paid for itself very much. I wish I had one of these to give to everybody here, but I had to borrow this one. We run out of them. I didn't have any available, so I had to borrow these two to bring them in. So any special event has to have special attention, is what I'm trying to say. You cannot use your same advertising program, your same publicity program that you use in your regular business to advertise and publicize a special event. It has to have special attention. So you have to come up with something that will give it special attention. Now this particular thing here is within our own area, and so it wasn't difficult to do. It took me about 3 weeks to actually put these out each time and talk to everybody. But the second time I come around with the scarecrow, they knew what it was all about anyhow, so I didn't have to do too much explaining the second time. Then to publicize this fall harvest, we come out with a newspaper. We call it the Shepherd of the Hills Gazette. It has color, it's a 12-page. It has pictures, it doesn't have any advertisement in it. It has some stories about some of our cast members. On the front page here, though, it has the fall celebration on it. This particular newspaper cost us about 3 cents a piece to have them printed. 70,000 at a time was what we printed at a time. About 3 cents a piece. They replaced an awful lot of our brochures because a lot of people will take this rather than our brochure, and our brochure costs 6.5 cents a piece. And so this has more information in it. And to get one, I'd like for all of you to have one of these. I'll have them over here when you come out. This just publicizes the Shepherd of the Hills and what's going on there. The local people really like this because they can read this newspaper and they understand a little bit more about what's going on out at the Shepherd of the Hills, because in our area, everybody's so busy that we can't hardly get them to come out there and see it. They're all working at the same time that we're open. So many of them can read this, and they don't have to go out. They know what's going on. It puts us foremost in the minds of the waitresses and people working in the motels and what have you, the first thing they say now when a person asks, well, what is there to do? Cook Shepherd's Hills. That's the first thing they say. So the specialty advertising does work, and the special events work very well for it. That's about all I have to say about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All of the things he said are great. I'd like to underscore a personal example, by a personal example. When I first went to Beckley, West Virginia, to start Vita West Virginia, which originally was just the Winter Company, I stopped at gas stations and restaurants just to sort of take a poll and said, what is there to do in Beckley? That's scary. And the kind of thing he's done, we always did every year to get the people, the service people in to see the show so they know about it, cater to them. It's been said many times, word of mouth is just invaluable to you. Our next panelist, yes, sir.
I have one thing that I'd like to add to Gil, being from that particular area too. And Bob Sherman Hills and the procedures that they use over the years are helping tourist-related businesses in the particular area, because that does so much for the public relations in the area. And they have done it religiously over the course of the years that I've known. It really creates a well-accepted public image in the immediate area. Let that stand out.
Very good. Everybody that works in the tourist industry is welcome to come to our place as our guest. Them and their family. We don't argue with any of them. They show us, we might check once in a while, you know, to see that they are the local people. But if they have a check stub or any kind of identification that they work in the area, then there's no questions asked. We give them all the tickets they want for that particular night.
Gil, I'd just like to ask, at the beginning of your statement, does this really promote intercourse?
I'm sorry?
Does this really promote intercourse?
Of course. Of course. Like Pennsylvania promotion.
I feel I'm losing you. Marion Wagner is known to most of you. He's been in the business a long time and is fast earning the reputation of Mr. Fix-It. If Mama gets in trouble, they call him Marion. He fixed mine, thank you very much, just before I got there. So Marion is now the producer artistic director of the council. And he's got some ideas to share with us on the discounting.
Thank you very much, John. I've been very fortunate over the past 17 years to work with what I consider some of the finest people in outdoor historical drama. The situation in terms of marketing as it relates to our panel, I think we've seen so many changes over the past 10 years in particular that some of the ideas and some of the methods have, as they have are prone to do, have gotten very obsolete. And I think that people like John Crockett, many of you remember, Chris, Joe, and I had the privilege of working with. Well, we worked with him, but I think it was a privilege. Rusty Mundell and the work he did with Tecumseh, and the gentleman up here, and many of you out there. Times, they are changing. And I think what Gil, just to touch on something that he has brought up, is a multiplicity of events. Tecumseh has been around for 15 years. It has been, and I think will continue to be, a very successful operation. One must assume and take for granted that the product is of a high caliber, but it's not going to stand on its own forever. And I think that oftentimes, and as desperately as I tried, and Joe, who Benedict, who was working with me at the time, and a few other people on the Alabama Coushatta Indian Reservation, whatever we did, it simply would not work. So sometimes it's a bitter pill to face the inevitable. facts in certain given situations. And all of those situations vary from drama to drama, season to season, which I'll touch on very briefly. But I think creating a multiplicity of events, the festivals that Gil is talking about, since you have such a limited time for your product to be visible and generate your revenue, you got to do something else to condense that season so that you can make some more money. I know that several of you do backstage tours. Tecumseh began backstage tours by, I think, about 1978. I don't know that we were the first, but I think we were one of the first. This type of a situation, immediately on discussing it, when Rusty and I were discussing it, I thought this, you know, we're not Universal Studios. You know, what are we going to have that's going to hold someone and get them to pay $3 and walk around backstage? Well, it did work. It required some thought, it required some refinement, but it now generates, I think it nets us out about $13,000 a year, a sizable amount of change. So we've gotten into the business also at the Scioto Society of managing the local convention and visitors bureau. What that does is allow us to have some voice and some participation in other community events that can be of an ancillary value to Tecumseh. One of the highlights of our endeavors there is Feast of the Flowering Moon, which is a spring festival. And Bob, I know you'll, Bob Ford will remember that as well. We spent some time on that, didn't we? Yeah. There is a Native American powwow which highlights that festival. And tribal members from all over the United States, representing many tribes, attend that powwow. It gives us some excellent exposure in terms of marketing within the community and helps in terms of community relations, which we have a panel on that tomorrow. It allows us to keep the name of Tecumseh in front of the core marketing area, which for us is considered to be Columbus and somewhere in that 50-mile area, in a very positive fashion, because of late, we have had to do a tremendous marketing job to reverse our financial image. I don't think we're the first one to have to do that, but we faced a very, very dark hour. But at any rate, the multiplicity and the diversification of whatever you can do at your facility to maximize your income, I think perhaps will be the saving grace for a lot of the operations. I'm not speaking on your behalf, certainly, but with recent events, and with disposable income becoming a bit more tighter, and I think there's going to be a lot more prudence applied to the spending of it, it probably would behoove us to change as much as we possibly can. And philosophically, I know that this goes against the grain of outdoor historical drama in terms of what it's supposed to do. All I can say about that is that if the product doesn't live, if it doesn't exist, then what good is it? So you have to do whatever is feasible and respectable with a product to keep it alive. One of the special promotion areas is discounting. And we've talked about discounting quite a bit here today. I do not endorse the concept of discounting as a means of special promotion. It simply drives the price of the product up over the course of time and creates budgeting problems in terms of revenue. But it does work. There is that. For the most part, results of discounting as they relate to the operation of a theater are intangible. How much revenue was lost when a more intelligent and forceful marketing strategy should have been put into place? How many of those individuals utilizing the discount would not have attended if it were not offered? I don't think that anyone has the answers to these questions. And even if they did, as I mentioned earlier, the answers would be based on different aspects and different situations depending on the drama and the specific location. We've said it here time and time again. Having worked in some of the different areas, as many of us have, what's working in Xenia is not working in Chillicothe or in Dover, New Philadelphia. But you can come back the next year and make it work. John made several things work that I was not able to last year. Now, let's not get personal about that, John. But now's your chance. But at any rate, the environment changes. This past season at Tecumseh, 38% of our entire audience attended the drama at discounted prices. Yeesh, I hate that. And last year at Blue Jacket, it was 42%. This figure is slightly higher than in previous seasons for Tecumseh. The national trend in terms of consumer purchasing has leaned heavily toward the discount syndrome. Everywhere one turns anymore, discount, 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 bargain days. You know, get them while they're hot. I think all of us in the business have utilized this method at one time or another in order to front load our season for cash flow purposes. Success varies from drama to drama, as I indicated, and season to season, and on the whole ballgame. The decision to discount on a broad basis is an individual one, based on the current economic activity of a given community or region. All of us have a certain percentage of our audience each season which fits into a specific socioeconomic strata that will attend the play and pay the current rate regardless of what the conditions are surrounding disposable income. It is my opinion and my belief, after looking at audiences and surveying audiences in different parts of the country, that you will have a set sector who will have that disposable income. They will spend it at an outdoor theater or a similar attraction, and that you would want to keep those people in mind every year when you are doing your marketing. So there is a definite plus, at least in that area. Broad-based discounting should be thought of as a developmental tool for a new audience or a stimuli for attracting a repeat audience. I think one of the strongest aspects of discounting and one of its most saving graces is the fact that it is an excellent PR tool. Therefore, good marketing research, which we talked about earlier today here at another panel, good marketing research is extremely important to ensure the effectiveness of the specific discount program. Don't discount, or I should say, I would not discount just to be discounting. You have to consider the aftershock. If, for instance, you're in an area of destination travel for tour operators, it would not be wise to make heavy use of the discount program in order to lure their trade. I don't think this gentleman, who has done a brilliant job over the years, as a few other people have, and these guys down here, I don't think they're going to discount the tour operators heavily, because they built a reputation, they built a business. They're in areas that are destination travel points for the most part, and perhaps they would take exception to that to a degree. I'm not building excuses on why Tecumseh doesn't have 8 million tour buses a year. Maybe we're just not doing it right, but we've tried like hell for 12 years and can't do it. So get out of the business and get into charters where you can make it work. But Gil and Bert and Ray probably, maybe they do as incentive packages, I'm not sure, probably don't have to heavily discount these people. Chances are, if the product is good and has visibility, they're going to buy it anyway. A group such as AAA, and I heard Jerry mention AAA a while ago, you got a nice spread out of us folks, didn't you? Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about that. A group such as AAA, on the other hand, might reap your operation some additional benefits in terms of free regional national advertising in exchange for a discount. Well, enough said on that. This guy did it. And the discount program in this sense becomes cost effective, and more than likely it does generate new dollars for the operation. Basically, then one should use the discount as a tool and not a crutch. You're halfway through the season. Oh my God, we're 20% down. Less discount. Less don't say we did. I don't know. I would be very honest with you. Last year, the Blue Jacket, it's about three quarters of the season, perhaps. And we did that. We did $3 discounts. We did it in the local area, which I knew was a mistake, but I had, and rightly so, a board of trustees saying, what are you doing to curb the situation? What are you doing to get the attendance stabilized and get it up? So we did that. It didn't work. And for the most part, I don't think it does work. We'll see about that later, though, I suppose. There are some effective ways, in my opinion, to discount. Piggybacking, which, and Chris brought up a while ago, about the Kroger program that Tecumseh did back in 1980 and 81, they did it again. Then we went with Hart's Big Bear, which is a grocery chain and department store retail operation. This is done in conjunction with another business or corporation. It's cost effective because you rarely have to put any money into it. It covers a large sector of the population. The volume increase was, was very effective after that program. Tecumseh had its best seasons during those years of 85,353 and 85,400 The volume made it work, regardless of what the downswing side of it was.
Can you explain it a little more? The piggybacking.
Certainly. The folks at the Kroger food company will purchase newspaper advertising. They will purchase other forms of media. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, we were only able to really get heavily into their print media newspaper.
They did $100,000 worth of advertising.
Thank you, sir.
In exchange for us sucking out the difference.
Right, which was $2 off, wasn't it?
No, it was straight 2-for-1.
Was it 2-for-1? Okay. See, that's why I no longer work there the next year. But it was very effective. It worked very well. And so we had to spend nothing on all of that print media. And there were some other special promotions done, I know. And that it was printed on all the bags as well. In three states, if I'm not mistaken. That was in three states. It was a big campaign. So the volume took care of us. Gosh, we don't want to miss a word of this. Whose is this? Shall I just turn it over?
Yeah,
that'd be good. Okay. I can work under pressure. It's the large one up here. I just push. There we go. Okay, very quickly, because I know I'm... You can create... If you can't get Kroger, we exhausted that. And the Hart's Big Bear, we exhausted that. They said, get out. Enough already. So in 1986, the year that I wasn't at Tecumseh, you'll notice a parallel here. I'm never there when they come up with these great programs. But I was going to do it in 80. In 1986, they decided, in terms of marketing, let's create our own. If we can't get a corporation to go along with us, we'll just create our own. And the most important thing they did in conjunction with that was they finally put some money into marketing. And since 1982, when another drama opened 45 minutes away of a very similar nature, by golly, we suddenly discovered that we had to start doing it right. And that wasn't rectified until 1986, when finally there was some additional monies put into the marketing budget, which took it from 35-ish to 60-ish. And they created a Wilderness Adventure Pass. They distributed the pass themselves. They didn't depend on anybody to do it. So they would valpack it. Valpacking, perhaps some of you are very familiar with that, is where you hire a professional distribution firm to either stuff this brochure and or this piece and hang it on every door in Columbus, Ohio, which they did. And they also reinforced it through other forms of advertising, paid advertising. And they would also do it through the print media, newspapers, special publications. Circulation approximately 180,000. This year we took it to 1 million. And the results showed there. We had a 17% increase in our audience overall. And with a 17% increase going to 63,000, we really still did not realize that much more in terms of ticket revenue. Maybe we're talking, and right off the top of my head, 30,000 or 40,000. So it's a lot of money where I come from, but the ancillary income helped us as well in those tours and the programs, which I raised to $3. So I have to say that even though that I don't agree with this county, in here it just doesn't feel right. In here, I think that we should be able to demand a quality price for a quality piece of work so that we can pay for it, so that we can continue to do it. But I have to face the reality of the situation. But I would designate a very specific period for that discount program, as all of you who have spoken on it have already indicated. This panel is to be designed to recognize methods of survival in terms of marketing ideas and projects. And the single most important aspect relating to marketing and outdoor theater today, in my opinion, is money. With deregulation, which we touched on a while ago, and inflation going up, advertising budgets have not kept pace. I would venture to say that. Just take a wild guess. I would have to say that a lot of those budgets haven't kept pace. And I don't know, and I'm surprised that he hasn't said it already, Mark Sumner. You know, what are you folks selling tickets? We're trying. He's right. For a long time, I was really ticked off at him because every time it seems. Well, you sell some tickets, would you? And he was really, he was very, very correct in terms of we need to supply enough money in those budgets.